Today on Real Life Radio.
What motivates a host to invite people? Why would you have someone over? For what reason? The reason is that you want to have them either enjoy something that you can offer them, or you enjoy them. Look, have you been invited over someplace? They want you there. And if you, I don't know if they want me there, you might say, well, at the very least, they want to share something with you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You ever feel like your Christian values are under constant assault? In a world where biblical truth is often labeled hateful or backward, how do we stand firm without becoming combative or isolated? Pastor Jack Hibbs wants to help you find answers with this month's featured resource, When Culture Hates You. It's written by Natasha Crane. And in this straight-talking book, you'll discover how to tackle tough conversations, maintain biblical convictions, and respond to cultural hostility with both grace and truth. Now, think of it as your essential guide for navigating a world that often views faith as the enemy. You'll learn how to speak confidently on issues of morality, identity, and belief without losing sight of God's love, because sometimes the strongest stance is one that balances conviction with compassion. Now, if you're ready to stand strong in an ever-shifting culture, look no further. When Culture Hates You, it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. One more time, jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues with his series called The Parables of Jesus and a message titled Parable of the Great Supper. Whenever Jesus spoke to the crowds, he often spoke using relatable stories with common everyday themes, and the Bible calls these parables. Jesus shared this parable during his last week here on earth. And Jesus extends an invitation to all of us. Anyone who answers his invitation will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that anyone who doesn't accept God's invitation to be with him in heaven, well, not going to be forced to do so. Heaven is a place of joy, life, and perfection, not a place of griping and whining because we don't want to be there. Now, with his message called Parable of the Great Supper, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Getting back to this man's weak and weakening excuse, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting. The word, by the way, is a perpetual state of submitting to one another in the fear of God. There you go. Perpetual submission to the will of God. Who? Husband and wife together. Well, wait a minute. I thought somewhere in the Bible it says the wives are supposed to submit to the husband. The verse in front of it says both of you are supposed to submit to God first. How cool is that? Women, you ought to write that down. That's Ephesians 5:21. You should have written that down. That's a good one. Matthew 13:22, Jesus said, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. These guys all have excuses that are rendering them in trouble, for sure. Mark this verse down, John 5:37. And the Father himself, Jesus said, who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, he's speaking to the Pharisees, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they, that is the scriptures, which testify of me. But you are not willing, notice these three, here's the answer, John 5:40. You're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Now, the last final points will go very quickly. Point number two is in verses 21 to 22, and that the God of the Bible is generous. Verse 21, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly. Notice how he responds. Go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city. And bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant went and said, Master, it is done as you commanded. There's still room. You know what Jesus is communicating here? The invitation goes out. Now, in this context, it goes out to the Jewish nation first. Some accepted, most didn't. Then the gospel turns to the Gentile world. God will put his hand, based on Romans chapter 11, back on the Jewish nation in the last days, which he's already begun to do in our lifetime. But the point is, Jesus is announcing that the Father in heaven wants as many people in heaven as possible. And he doesn't like excuses. What's your excuse?
I have a wife.
It's not going to work. God is generous. He wants you there. The third and final point, verses 23 to 24, is the God of the Bible is right. He's right. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. Go look through bushes and try to find people. If you find somebody sleeping behind a trash can, grab them and get them here. Compel them to come. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is announcing to the crowd, God wants you in heaven so bad. The story goes this way. He's saying, I compel you, come, come on. You grab him by the shoulders, get into heaven now. That my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Notice the wrath of God is right. You say, I don't like that. Just hang on. Just wait. Three questions. Wrap this up. What goes into an invitation by a host? Now, I don't really know much about that. Lisa and I have our own angle on that. If we're going to invite people over, are you guys like this? If we're going to invite people over, she goes, okay, let's get the house ready. Do you know what that means to me? Do you guys go through the same thing? Lisa starts dusting and she's doing that. And I am outside in the yard hosing, trimming, planting a bush, something. Now that's me. But she's looking, tapping on the window, come in, come in. And she's thinking, what a loony. He needs to come in here and help me get the house ready. And I'm thinking on the outside, can't she see? I'm busy getting the house ready. Can someone say amen? Do you know what? Okay, all right. What goes into the efforts of a host to have people over? God has gone through all of it. He's done it all. And he's shouting to the world, come, come on. And then somebody whispers in his ear, there are not many people coming. I've done everything to get them to come. I've repaired everything. Go find some more people. And the answer comes back, I got some more people, but there's still room. Wow. So the next thought I have is, what motivates a host to invite people? Why would you have someone over? For what reason? The reason is that you want to have them either enjoy something that you can offer them or you enjoy them. Look, have you been invited over someplace? They want you there. And I don't know if they want me there, you might say. Well, at the very least, they want to share something with you. Think of how sweet that is. The third question I have is, what response should be exhibited by a guest if you're invited? Well, these guys, they said yes up front. Their answer's worse. From the very beginning, they should have said, no, I don't want to come. Then the master wouldn't have prepared for them. They say, oh, pretty good, yeah, I'll see you then. With no intentions to be there. They stand the guest or the host up, they stand him up, and then they insult him. Isn't that what the unbelieving world does to God? They stand him up with excuses all their life and insult him. What was his motive and his intent? To share with you the riches of his kingdom. He wanted you there. His nature is good. God is right. He's so right that he wants to share what he has with you. When you see something wonderful, the worst thing in my opinion, at least that's the way I'm wired, if I see something wonderful, by myself, 75% of the excitement goes out the door. Why? Because there's nobody there. I remember when I was learning how to fly, and I could just fly solo. Didn't have my license yet. I couldn't take up a passenger. And I would take off from John Wayne Airport and do my time touch and goes and radio work and all that stuff. And I remember one summer, or one fall that was, and I remember going out over the ocean, and remember, I couldn't take anybody up, and there were whales everywhere. And I just put it into slow flight. I was just doing 360s over these whales. I'm hooting and hollering. Oh my goodness, look at that, look at that, look at that. There's nobody with me. Look at that, look at that, isn't that fantastic? What do you think of that? That's amazing. There's nobody in there. It's so sad. The response should be of a guest, thankfulness, appreciation, right? Joy. There's nothing sweeter than to say, I want to thank you for inviting me. I've had the best time. And oh man, the dessert was amazing. That just warms your heart up. It's precious.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so I'm thinking this. Have you invited people? You have the Harvest Crusades coming up. You invite them. Already people are going to say things like, oh, yeah, yeah. When is it? October 23rd? Yeah, yeah. And then the October 22nd is going to come, and you're going to say, I'll pick you up at 6. For what? For the crusade, remember? You said you're going to go. No, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. August 23rd. I thought you said October 23rd. You know, that kind of stuff. So I want you to think this. As we land this, I want you to think of this. Why wouldn't people come to church? Why do your friends and my friends don't come? Why do you and I have family members who won't come? We have neighbors who won't come, right? You invite them to everything, they won't come. And you listen to their excuses. From this night forward, listen to their excuses. Hey, you know, I know I've asked you before, but you want to come? You want to just come? And now, nowadays, it's so easy. You can sit down in your neighbor's house and pull out the app or go online and say, you kind of want to see what goes on at church? Here you go. Look at that. Now look, if their head starts spinning around with split pea soup coming out, then you probably know why they're not going to come to church. But it's so easy now to invite people. But why won't they come? Notice there will always be excuses. Listen, this is the one I'm hearing a lot, or I've heard a lot. And when time comes, they'll hear a lot of it again in season. In fact, this is a real one. I have it in quotes. Hey, Pastor, we've had to stop going to church on Sundays because my kids started soccer. So I said, so do you come on Wednesdays? Well, no, because that's a weeknight and they have to be in bed for school. Okay, so just don't be surprised if your kid never grows up with a real value of how important it is to be with God and God's people. And as life gets tough, your kid will not have learned how to lean on God when difficult times come. He can hug his soccer ball all he wants in the middle of that trial. It ain't going to do nothing for him. Think of that. Think of it. This is a big deal. Oh, man, I can't believe you said that. I'll say it again. If there's anything that you are putting out there that communicates to your family that God is part-time and we ought to do this instead, you're teaching, you're setting your kid up for failure. Yeah, but man, you know what? I mean, he's got a golden foot, dude. God first. Always God first. And watch what happens in life. And so we end with this. Verse 24, so I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Wow. They're rejectors. Remember, they started this fight. He's got a wife. I got oxen. This guy bought a plot of land. Can't come. They rejected him. So the rejectors are themselves rejected. That's not God's fault. He prepared for everything for that. And so listen, close your Bible. We're all done. Check this out. This is the nature of God. This is the pattern of God. He prepares. He makes ready. We reject. Biggest rejection picture thus far. There's bigger ones coming in the future. But as I thought about this, the rejectors became the rejected. Do you know what immediately my mind went to? What picture in the Bible where it's the biggest display of the rejectors being rejected? Can you think of it? Oh, come on. It's just, come on. There's no... Exactly. Cassie said it. Noah, the ark. Now listen. It doesn't say that Noah preached to them for 120 years, but it says that Noah built the ark for 120 years in his neighborhood. Hey, what are you doing? Remember, the Bible says in Genesis, it hadn't rained yet on the earth. What are you building a boat for? It's going to rain. What? The Bible says dew came up from the earth and watered the grass. That's awesome, huh? Drip system by God. And Noah, the book of Hebrews tells us that he was a man of righteousness and that he was preparing the ark. Now, you know, people came by and said, what is this? It's an ark. What's it for? God's going to flood the earth. You should get on board. Oh, that's okay. You know what? I got stuff to do. Kids and soccer. I just got a wife. Bought some land. Haven't seen it yet. Got some ox. It's a big day. I can't. 120 years. Building an ark. As a warning. And the Bible says that God called Noah, his sons, their wives, Mrs. Noah, the animals, into the ark. In the ark. This is awesome. They all walk in. I'm guessing. I don't know, but it seems to me Noah would have been the last one in. I'm just guessing. I would have been the last guy in. Making sure, you know, check, right? Zebra, donkey, okay. Shem, Ham, Japheth, Mr. and Mrs. Mrs. Noah. Okay, that's it. All right. Well, I've been talking to you guys for 120 years. You don't want anything to do with this. It's a bummer. He walks in. The Bible says God shut the door. That had to be freaky. Okay, and can you imagine? That had to be a huge door. Get in there. Oh, man. Shem, Ham, Japheth, we got to shut the door. How do we shut this door? And the door goes. And they're sitting there now. Can you imagine? This reminds me of our day. People on the outside. Hey, you stupid idiot. What are you doing in there, you nincompoop? I bet it stinks in there with all those animals. Never seen anything so silly in my life, you weirdo. Believe God talked to you, huh? Well, look where it got you. And then some clouds begin to form. And they saw rain for the first time. Wow. And they're washed away. The rejectors became the rejected. Isn't it tragic? Listen, you reject God. Why in the world would you do that? Heavenly Father, oh Lord, you are so grand and glorious. Your testimony is amazing as we are here in the night of this service, in the darkness outside. There's a whole nother world, as it were, on the other side. There's people getting suntans right now in Guam, in Japan. There's people climbing mountains right now in the daylight in Nepal. People are going to work and busy in Russia in the full daylight. And here we are in the night. And the day and the night will encompass and go around every day. And we scarcely take it to heart. Tomorrow's morning for us is coming. It's coming. It will sweep across Europe. It will go across the amazing expanse of the Atlantic. Light will be coming, heading towards New York and Maine and Miami, and it will just go across the midsection, and it will reach us tomorrow morning at like 5:15, 5:18 in the morning. And you're so faithful, like a train stopping at the station. Lord, let us not be a people who rejects you in life. Let us not reject you when you offer us to partake of what you want to do. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there's someone in this house, someone maybe on the other end of this camera right now, and they're rejecting you, they've been rejecting you. They've gone from one excuse to another about why they're not a Christian or why they don't follow God, or they've got one more excuse about why they're not as committed as they once were. Heavenly Father, we pray that by your great and sovereign power, by your everlasting arms and outstretched arms, hearts would surrender today, tonight, wherever people are in the world watching this right now, and that they would say, Jesus, strip me of my excuses. I'm shamed. I'm embarrassed. I'm busted. I'm convicted of how I have tried to relegate you out of my life. If that's you right now, wherever you are, you can just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. You have brought rain on my head. You've brought sunshine on my head. You have given me warmth. You have given me cold. You've brought me to this moment, and I'm so sorry for neglecting you in life. Jesus, forgive me now of my sins. Change my life. Wash away, Lord God, my guilt and shame, and change me and make me more like you. I want to follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life. I want to worship you. Pray that to him right now and let him change your life. And he will do that in Jesus' name, the risen Son of God, Savior of the world, Jesus, from the cross to his crown upon the throne, God Almighty, your Savior, your Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Parable of the Great Supper. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series highlighting the teachings of Jesus while he was ministering here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Pastor Jack, this is pretty exciting. We're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of Real Life Network.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's beyond amazing.
We launched this thing, over 2 years ago?
Almost 2 years ago.
And it's been exciting. I mean, it's been quite a ride, right? Some people call it the Netflix of the Christian world. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It has exploded. For those of you who don't know, you've got to do this. It's free. Go to your applications and get this app. It's the Real Life Network app, and it's 24/7, 365, 100% Christian character-based material. And the programming, we started out, Davey, 2 years ago with a fledgling handful of some broadcast and some content, and it has exploded. Yeah. 70 million minutes of broadcast time has already been invested in by the viewers. And listen, here's what's shocking, everybody. God blessed us so much during COVID that we wanted to create a cancel-free, censor-free Christian network. And it's not only free for you, the user, it's free for all of the ministries broadcasting because God has paid the bill. It's been amazing.
Yeah. What's coming up next? What's right around the corner?
Wow. I have to be careful to say
Go ahead.
A lot. We have caught the eye of some wonderful producers of great content. One of them is the fine people at PragerU who are famous for not only their conservative worldview positions, but PragerU is famous for their 5-minute videos, PragerU. So we'll be working with them shortly.
Love PragerU.
And we've been invited by Blaze TV. They're at Mercury One in Dallas, Texas, to join up with the Blaze TV. And we are going to be doing some pretty exciting things with the Real Life Network and the Blaze TV. And there's more, but we'll save that for later.
Sounds good. So if you haven't checked it out already, that's the Real Life Network, streaming the best in Christian and conservative content. Sign up and start streaming today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.